Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my goodness, it must be 9 p.m. Eastern time, and time for Pop Culture Stars, one of the most enjoyable and fun 90 minutes on internet radio. This is Dr. John Stamey from a getting colder and colder Myrtle Beach. I don't know what's going on. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for 80 degrees and sunny. But anyway, we'll see. We'll still enjoy the wintertime, and it's always good to be in Myrtle Beach. At least I know lots of people. They're all as crazy as I am, and I guess that's why I don't leave. Anyway, great to be here with our esteemed panel. Boy, is it esteemed. It's just so esteemed that they're just fogging everything up, including my glasses. And nobody laughed at that lame joke. Come on.
No, I heard a little chuckle in the background. Dr.
You're
John.
You're just trying to be nice is all you're being, but that's okay.
I did hear a little chuckle in the background. Somebody made a little chuckle, so you know.
That was me, the mercy chuckle.
The mercy chuckle. All right, well, speaking of the one ray of sunshine in an otherwise dark and dreary night, from Springdale, Arkansas, the one and only the queen of pop culture stars, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing tonight, Granny?
Well, I'm trying to stay warm. It's been very cold all day. It's been rainy. We're under a winter weather advisory. They're talking about possible snow for tomorrow. So not a lot, but, you know, it's just been cold and miserable and dreary all day. But other than that, I mean, other than the weather, you know, I'm good, and I know I was sharing some good news with all of you wonderful gentlemen off the air, you know, before our show started, and Granny's been dealing with some. Hey, Velvet. Granny's been dealing with some issues, you know, but right now, good news. Long story short, good news is my husband still. Looks like he's still going to be able to keep his job for a while. He's working in a different area with some different people, but he's still with the Washington County Road Department. And basically, it looks like now they are going to let him retire on his terms, not on their terms. So that's a good thing.
Yay!
So we'll see what happens.
Keep us updated, Granny. We'll keep plugging for the best. And now for the, we're going to go to Ravenel, South Carolina, and the amazing Velvet. By the way, Velvet, for some reason, I tried to let you in and it wouldn't do it, but I fixed it. So how are you tonight?
I'm good. How's everybody? Hello.
Doing good.
We're wonderful.
Good, good,
I'm
great.
Good.
We all
know. Who's great. I'll tell you who's better than he's ever been is our buddy Tim from the Eye in the Sky, Indianapolis. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
I'm doing a million times better than I was last week at this time. From a short hiatus, I am back, and the only bit of sad news, it's not sad news. I'm not going to say that. We'll just say this is the first time that I've done the podcast, and I will forever now be without the vodka and Diet Coke, because that might have had an issue with the pancreatitis diagnosis. I'm not sure. They said it was idiopathic, meaning they couldn't find a source, but this shit happened to my mom, too, pardon my French, and she only had one or two glasses of wine. I mean, my mom was Donna Reed, for crying out loud, but they told her after she had pancreatitis real bad, put her in the hospital, that she shouldn't have any more alcohol ever again. So, you know what? If that's what it takes, I don't ever want to be back. That was some of the worst pain I ever felt. And so I'm kicking the bottle. Might as well be a New Year's resolution, get my ass back in
shape.
There
you go.
So here I am.
Well, they took 25% of my liver out, so I can't drink. So I'm with you.
Great.
That's all right. We'll still take both of you. We'll keep you both. Now, from Jacksonville, North Carolina, one of the two twins from Jacksonville, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
Obviously not speaking English.
Try that again, Todd.
You're not worth it tonight.
He didn't quit drinking.
I was just going to say that.
That part is I haven't even opened anything. God, shoot.
Well.
Maybe that sobriety is contagious.
Hey, it's a good thing, bro.
It must be I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah.
So Todd, how are you? Let's restart your segment. Todd, how you doing tonight?
Sugoyan des. Look, I could do it in Japanese. Honto daijoubu. English, it ain't happening tonight. Good grief. Yeah, I'm outstanding the supernatural and ecstatic to be here. Man, happy 2021, peoples.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness 2020's gone. Well, anyway, that's great. We're glad we're actually glad you're here. Even though you were having problems talking, we're glad you're here. And you were being very weird in the green room because I couldn't understand what you were talking about. It was on three different levels, and I didn't know which level you were talking about. So anyway, glad you're here, and say what you mean and mean what you say because I'm too dumb to try to figure it out. And, of course, the curmudgeon at large, probably with a cigar and a PBR. Rhymes, doesn't it? Dave Atwell, how are you doing, Dave?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. It's good to get everybody together again and hearing all this good news. Lord knows I needed it. So, a little chilly out here tonight, but I'm feeling the cigar more than I am the warmth. So I'm going to tough this one out and enjoy me a fine cigar from Godfather Cigars and some malt beverages while we're carrying on tonight.
How you doing, You got that Godfather cigar, huh?
Absolutely. And
we're going to talk about the Godfather now.
Just to prove how much of a team we are here at Pop Culture Stars, since Tim can no longer drink due to an injury, okay? We're a team. It's an injury. I will take up the slack and drink twice as much.
What a guy. What a guy.
Only Dave.
That's awful.
No
dwelling
behind, man. I got you.
I'll keep everything at the same level. It'll be good. But anyway, glad to have you here, Dave. We really are.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I know. So now, here's what we want to do tonight. I thought it would be fun. Because I guess I'm the writer sometimes. I thought it would be fun if we identified a major problem in this country and how we personally are going
to
fix it this year. And y'all know what mine is. I'll save mine for later. Who wants to volunteer first?
Not it.
Not it.
And,
I'm sorry. I'm not starting no arguments
I'm
with nobody.
Do what?
He says he's right there with Velvet.
Well,
I'll
throw in this much. I don't care what side of the aisle you're from, and I don't care how beaten down you feel like you've been or how threatened your liberty is or how you're still pissed about something that happened 500-600 years ago or whatever. Burning down things, threatening lives, and overall violence, it doesn't fix anything. And
nope. You're talking about the WWE. Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Somebody laughed at one of my lame jokes. Thank you, Velvet.
But it's a very slippery slope when you start waving guns, when you start Molotoving things. So, you know, for all it's worth, there are people on the right that are too far extreme. There are people on the left that are too far extreme. And, you know, truth be told, what was the big thing? Muslim extremism that we were fighting. And now we're fighting domestic extremism. And when you start waving guns and when you start burning things, it goes to a different level. And, you know, if somebody punches you in the face, or if you punch somebody in the face, you got to walk around for all eternity looking over your shoulder, because that guy's going to turn up and reciprocate. It's just how life is. So for all the common folk, and when I use the term common folk, I don't mean that disparagingly. I'm talking about people who can act on an adult level, have an adult discussion, and come down to adult compromise where everybody wins, which is how we form this country. You can't keep a good man down. And when you threaten their homes with violence, when you threaten their lives with violence, when you threaten their jobs with violence, good people go home and begin to prepare for the worst. And those are the ones you don't want to screw with. So if you're one of these ass bags that feels like you've got to throw brick through windows and tag foul language on city buildings, and you've got to wave your gun around to prove you're somebody, stop it. Go home. Go home. Stick your head just further up your ass than what it already is. But stop it. Go home. Because it's not going to fix anything, because any energy that can be spent fixing it is spent trying to keep you from acting like a damn native. And when I say native, I mean like a caveman, like a goddamn imbecile. So that's that. I'll move on.
Well,
let me throw one little piece of information out there. The use of deadly force is authorized when there is an immediate threat to life, limb, property, or national security. The fact that a lot of those idiots that have pulled stuff off over the last several months are not cadavers, I think they're lucky. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I agree.
Cadavers. That is a great phrase, Todd. I hadn't heard that one.
All right. Well, sorry. I'm gonna tell you something else. You said everything right. Everything's well. I totally agree. The only it's gonna take real people to fix it. It's gonna take real people to sit down to the table and fix it. But also the other thing is, you got to vote that old money out, and all them old hags got to get rid of the old money and get some new blood in there.
Absolutely.
And you can't have somebody sitting in Congress for 40 years not doing a damn thing for 40 friggin' years, but collecting a damn paycheck and then becoming a millionaire.
It's a hot mess that, it's pretty easy to say to run somebody into it, and I've said it many a time. The money in politics is freaking insane.
Because all the hands are in the cookie jar, dude.
Oh, yep. No, I'm not talking just the money that the careerists are making. I'm talking about what it gets to get in there. Think about the money spent on elections. It's mind-boggling.
Well, here, let me throw this at you, okay? Take a federal job, which is a U.S. representative to your state, okay? That's a federal. They're only a 2-year term limit, okay? But here's the problem. We have a guy down here named Jim Clyburn. If you know who Jim Clyburn is, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Anybody who voted straight ticket Republican, that poor schlub spent no money on campaigning. Nobody backed him on the Republican side, and he got 80,000 votes. Where Jim Clyburn ended up with 2.2 million. Now, he spent $2.5 million on a campaign where I saw, and I'm in his district, saw no campaign, saw no commercials, heard no commercials, heard nothing about him being on the reelection trail, nothing. That money went right back into his pocket.
Yep.
Now, where is he? Now, Velvet, what is his district? Where is it? Orangeburg?
His district runs. His district runs from Allendale to Florence. It was set up that way in all the poverty-stricken areas, so that he was guaranteed victory no matter who ran against him.
God, I've never heard of Allendale. What a grand place.
But here's the thing. He hasn't lit, his house is in Meggett down the road from me, probably about 6 miles from my house. He hadn't lived there since I moved out here, and I moved out here 15 years ago. He's been living in D.C., and now he's 80. His wife just passed away. When his reelection comes up, he'll be 82 years old. But, I mean, he still can get around. He's not ailing. Still has a sharp mind, but it's in the toilet. But in regards to that, they were somebody said they were talking about redoing the lines. They're not going to redo the lines until he's out of office. And that's when the lines will be redone, and then people will have an opportunity to actually run in their actual district. But until that happens, they can happen. And he's been making, sitting up there, a millionaire, doing absolutely zero for the state of South Carolina.
No, he does complain a lot now. Now, he does a good job at that.
Well, yeah, because that's all he can do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like our state – let's talk about our state representatives in the state. Our state senators, they don't do nothing. Our South Carolina House and Senate don't do a damn thing. And they only make – listen to this. They only make $11,000 a year, but they get a $299 weekly stipend. But most of them are lawyers and doctors and whatever. So they don't need the money. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Got any more?
You're hitting Chris on the head. I mean,
well, don't get me. I told you we were going to argue. I don't want to argue. I don't like it because the whole thing is broken. The whole system is broken. And until somebody grows a set and says, wait a minute, let's fix this, it ain't going to happen.
Well, there's no argument to it. What you said hit the nail on the head because, take for instance, this stimulus that just hit. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very thankful for the fact that I live in a country that bad things can happen and they can just give you money. When hurricanes hit in the Carolinas, and, you know, I'm thankful because that helps my family. That pays my bills and that kind of
Correct.
Stuff. Now, there are people out there that use it for ink and cigarettes and pot and crab legs and
trust
all these
me, things. Trust me. That's, yeah. Okay. But, you know,
and then the same ones, and Todd will tell you, over there when we worked together, we had certain people in the building. You never saw them without a cigarette. They always walked around with a bandage around their arm when they got fresh ink. And at the first of every month, a Ziploc bag was being passed around the break room, and they wanted everybody to throw money in there so a certain individual would get their lights turned back on. And it was usually that same individual. So there are those people out there, okay? But up there in Washington, while these guys are bantering back and forth, and speaking of draining, the first one that everybody's going to say is Pelosi, and I agree. She has yet to go.
Skeletor.
Okay? And Schumer's got to go.
Schumer's got to go. Somebody needs to – never mind. Go ahead.
But the same, McConnell needs to take his turtle ass down the road. He's another one that's been around way too long. And
now Dave, hold on a second, and this is an important question. With the Senate 50-50, that's what it is right now, correct?
Yeah.
Who is the House Majority Leader?
Well, McConnell is, for the time being.
McConnell, yeah. Yeah, for the time being.
But as long as you've got guys like Romney floating around in there, he won't be for long. It'll be somebody like Schumer. But my point being about this damned stimulus, okay? Somebody, and I can't recall who it was, said the other day that the supplemental income, in other words, unemployment income, is $600 a week. because that's what people need to live. And that was exactly how it was said. That's $600 a week is what they need to live. And I says, well, I'll be damned. Somebody
right.
needs to let Target and Food Lion and Walmart and Sam's Club and all these other places know that, because if you're working, you're probably working for $10 an hour. And since Obamacare
yep.
came out, nobody's going to give you more than 32 hours a week, because then you're eligible for Obamacare, and they don't want that going on.
You're also eligible if you work over 32 hours for 5 weeks. They have to offer you insurance, and they don't want to do that. That's what it is.
And that's why they keep you at 30 hours. So let's do the math, boys and girls. $10 an hour at 30 hours a week is $300. You pay payroll
taxes.
which is 22%. Okay. Now, on supplemental income, a supplemental tax, I believe, is only 12%. I may be wrong. Don't nobody quote me on that. But a supplemental
right.
tax is less than a payroll tax. So you're on this side of your mouth saying that unemployed people need $600 a week to live with a cheaper tax rate, but the people out there working make half of that.
And get hosebags. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. unfortunately, so it's going to get. And that's another thing, too, with the whole taxation thing. With, you know, when they say anybody making over $400,000 a year. Okay. So
listen,
the LeBron James of the world. Yeah. The Oprah Winfrey's of the world, the Donald Trump's of the world, they're not going to feel that, because they have the money to get out of it. I tell you who's going
right.
to feel it is that dentist.
We are.
Who that dentist
yeah.
who went to school for 8 years and makes $410,000
yep.
a year. And now
yep.
at 14 a year, he's going to get taxed like LeBron James, who just bought a $26 million home. And
yep.
it's just so skewed. But, again, we've got to quit voting these nitwits into office. And there's a gentleman, Todd will know, and you guys being close might know, Mark Robinson just got sworn in for lieutenant governor. And I challenge you guys to look him up on YouTube and listen to him speak, because he calls it. And I got a lot of respect for the man, and by God, I can only hope that he'll be our next governor instead of lieutenant governor, because he makes a lot of sense. And it did my heart some good seeing him getting sworn in as lieutenant governor of North Carolina, and it gave me some hope. But I'm here to tell you, until we flush the turlet, The turds are
yeah.
going to keep floating, and it's just it's sad, because we're so much better. We're so much better as a country. We're so much better as people. And
people need to wake up and look at the reality of the situation, and they're not. They're too busy whining, pissing, and moaning about this one, or whatever the case may be on either side of the fence. They're not paying attention to what's really going on. So my only hope is, I've lost some friends over this. I stopped talking politics 2 months ago and stopped posting stuff 2 months ago, okay? So I said, okay, we'll let it roll. So a buddy of mine started in on me this afternoon, just dinging, dinging, dinging. So I stopped it. I just turned it off. I said, I'm not listening to it. You know, all this and that. And I said, the only comment I made is, how about hit me back come June or July when your paycheck starts to shrink and your taxes are doubled. Come to me and go, oh, well, wait a minute. No, don't come to me when the crime bill gets redone against African Americans. Don't come at me. And I said, not only that, I said, guy like me that has disability from cancer, which I'm fighting hopefully at some point in the near future or sometime this year that I can get off and go back to work. But until then, I could lose it. I could lose it completely. Yeah. Because if they redo, if they restructure Obamacare, I could lose my disability. So I won't hear that crap. You know, and George W. Bush was on something years ago when he gave money back, but he wanted to do it on a larger scale. And it was something he took from Ross Perot. He goes, roughly how many people are in this country? How much? What, 100 million?
No, I think it's like 300 million.
Right, 300 million, right? Okay.
Yep.
So you could give everybody $1 million and spend how much money? A lot. Okay.
Right.
Cut that down. Let's say we're going to give everybody $100,000, but you cut it down. Everybody who's working has a job from 16 to 65. That cuts that money down. Right? Then you cut it down even further. You can't make X amount of money. You have, you know, all these little stipulations you can put in there. So let's say you wasted $300 million, right? Where do you think that money's going to go into? Where do you think that money's going to go back to? Who's it going to go back to?
The people that had money originally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is how we're set up. As fast as we get money, we give it right back to them. So if people look back then and took the tax deduction instead of taking the money, the rich people, stimulus bill wouldn't be a factor right now. We wouldn't be talking about it. It would have been a no-brainer. Sign it, let's go. Done deal. Next. But no, everything's about their money, which means everybody sitting up there with their hand in the cookie jar don't want us to get jack squat. They're up there laughing, going, ha, 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 they pay income tax every year. We got them. You know, that's the whole gig right there.
They don't want to rock the boat as much as I don't down here, because like the socialism piece, I am totally, again, I'm a published author. I own my house. I own my cars. I own my business. I know my dad-in-law and my folks. They both own their homes and have a fair amount of wealth put away for us when they pass.
Right.
Okay. I have a lot at stake, you know, when it comes down to that. Is it something that I was given? Is it something that I just woke up? Am I Paris Hilton? No. My folks busted their ass. Busted my ass. I worked, and Todd will tell you, he worked me enough. I worked the 16-hour days and everything to get to where I'm at. I didn't want to pay a mortgage until I was 76, if I lived that damn long. I want to get it over with, so that way, at 50 years old, I can say, I feel like scratching my ass today, and I could do it all day long, okay?
Correct.
I don't want anything to do with the socialism. I have a genuine dog in this, okay?
Oh, we all might
not be able to fight on several other things, like abortion and that kind of stuff. I don't have a dog in that fight. But I have a dog in a socialism fight. So when you stop and think about what you were just speaking on, Velvet, is that if you were to get one of those guys up there, the McConnells, the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, and all them loaded, they would tell you, we don't want to rock the boat. I live in a huge house in a gated neighborhood or in a gated, you know, a household.
But now remember, Nancy eats chocolate whenever she has a mental problem. Don't you remember that? Well, whenever I need it, I eat chocolate. And half the people in her district can't afford it.
If I had a refrigerator full of ice cream, I wouldn't want to rock the board either. And that's the problem up there. They don't want to give up what they have. They never have to drive the
car. Of course not.
They never have to pay for their meals. All the stuff that me and you do every day, get up, you know, we get up, we damn do the three S's, we jump in our cars, we sit in traffic, all that. You honestly think that they got to go to Walmart to pick up deodorant? No, they got somebody that does that for them. They don't want to rock the boat. And I'll be honest with you, if I was in their shoes, I probably wouldn't either. But what is making all that wealth happen? How did you get there? Through a capitalistic society, through a capitalistic economic system. So when you start waving around all this stuff and you start talking about, you know, wages and all this kind of jazz and how a guy sitting at the house needs $600 a week, but a guy busting his ass for 30 doesn't.
Exactly. We have a problem.
You know, there is something wrong, something horribly wrong, and it's the math. I mean, that's not an opinion-based thing. That's not a, Dave's, you know, religious and he's feeling, no, got nothing to do with that. It's math.
Nope. I got you. But see, here's the thing. They don't want us to be smart enough to figure that out. We can't have deductive reasoning. We have to be stupid, you know. We have to follow them and go, oh, yes, master, yes, master. No, that's what happened. All these people drinking a juice thinking it's going to be great. Don't come at me when the shit hits the fan and you're like, I'm going to say, oh, that's your president. That's who you voted for. Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to piss it. Listen, and I don't mean that to piss anybody off. But when the shit hits the fan, and it's going to, when the shit hits the fan, I won't hear it. I don't want to hear Oprah and Whoopi Goldberg and all these people and whoever and Cardi B and talk about, oh, they just took $20 million from me on taxes. Well, dummy, that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mean to anybody because I tell you, it's going to take, like you said, we're going to have to cross the aisle to fix this. But they also going to have to listen to regular people. Because, you know, you don't need no lawyers, no doctors. They need to talk to blue collar workers. That's what they need to do. They're not going to like what comes out of their mouth, like you, me, and the rest of them on here. But guess what? They're going to have to take it. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you're absolutely. I would say amen, but I would have to say a women to follow it up. But
then you would be a moron.
Hey, I've got you guys on Facebook. Did y'all see my post today about that? Said amen and a women. Now, the word amen is not gender, so we're not supposed to be speaking genders anymore. We can't use him, hers. It's got to be a they.
Okay.
It means so be it.
So what happened to the woman's lib? Just saying with all this stuff.
But amen is like specimen. It's like acumen. It's the part of the word. It isn't gender based. Okay. So my concern is about menstruation and semen because those are two exclusive clubs. So do I have C men and C women in me? And does my wife have a menstrual or a menstrual cycle? And for that matter, how many wheels does a menstrual cycle have? It's so far out there that we're actually speaking. I thought when we were discussing on where we were going to use the bathroom at, we had hit all-time low. But the word amen has been used for, 2,500, 3,000 years? It's not a gender-based word. It's the closing of a prayer. And, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, H. Christ, how far out with all the crap we got going wrong right now. And we got some balloon head up there saying, hey, women, what the hell? It's just, for me, it's, and I'll throw in a little saying, I don't mean to hog the show. You guys know how I get on my soapbox when it comes down to this thing. But
keep talking, Dave.
I'm going to throw the word out there for you guys, and you guys feel free to use this. It's called social regurgitation. Or social vomit, as I like to go with, because vomit has more of an impact. Okay, so if you look at social vomiting, if you go back to the 60s, everybody was, you know, walking around naked. Everybody was, you know, doing dope. Everybody was, you know, you know, burning drugs. They were, you know,
just remember that is before obesity was rampant.
There you go. And
but
again,
that was before McDonald's and Burger King, buddy.
Before they hit mainstream. That was another period of social vomiting where everything, if you look at pictures of your grandparents, my grandparents were always dressed to the nines. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
My grandparents didn't have a lot of money. You know, my mom's dad, he was an immigrant from Italy. Damn sure didn't have any money. But every time I see a picture of my granddad or I see a picture of my dad's parents, they're always dressed to the nines, and they're always squared away. They always have their hair combed. They always, you know, a lot of times my grandfather was always wearing a tie, and he was a carpenter. You know, he was in the Navy during World War II, and then he was a carpenter for a trade. That's what he did for a living. And every picture you see him, he's wearing a tie, and his hair is combed and everything. And I'm going, okay. So you find pictures, you know, and we've got pictures of my grandfather when he was a kid, and they're all dressed, and they're all standing up straight, and they're all looking at the camera. They carried themselves with a certain amount of respect and you look at it now, some of the pictures that you're taking at 20 years old, your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren are going to look at it and probably wonder. Of course, things might be gone to hell even worse by then, but my point being is social regurgitation. Somewhere in the 60s, we quit giving a shit. And then we went for years and years. And, you know, it was right there in the 20s when things were kind of almost like it goes in a 50-year-old cycle. And we're right back at it right now, where no matter what you say, no matter what you do, what's his name? Just sang a song. Who's the nitwit country guy that sings the one that ran off with Gwen Stefani? Oh, God. Anyhow, he just sang a song the other night, and everybody's busting his chops because he's talking about earning minimum wage.
And are you
like,
talking
about
Blake Shelton, Dave? Are you talking about Blake Shelton?
That's it, Blake Shelton. And I'm going, guys, turn the goddamn song off. If it bothers you that much, turn it off.
I don't know when we became wimps.
Yeah. And this, like I said, social vomiting, man, where people just lose track. And when people are starting to say, A, women, and on this side of their mouth they're saying, and, you know, it's kind of funny, though. You can't say him or her. You got to say it or they now. But 10 years ago, if you said somebody playing on either side of the tracks, it, you got busted for that. That was wrong. That was not acceptable to call somebody in it. And for me, it's just, you know, it's,
hey,
it's
Bubba's
point.
Not worried about it, honey.
No, I ain't worried about it either, sir. But the problem is that there's going to come a point where people just won't interact. That people will be so
I can tell you something, and I agree with that, because I'm going to tell you why. The rich folk here that live in certain areas of town don't teach their kids a damn thing. They don't know. You know what they know? Mom and daddy got money. Mom and daddy bought me a brand new BMW.
Yep.
And your stupid ass don't know how to put gas in it. I had a little girl, probably 17 years old. Mommy and daddy bought her a brand new BMW. She's at the gas station. I'm with my family. I go in, pay for my gas, come back out. And I go to pump my gas. She puts her credit card in. She pulls the diesel handle and thank God she couldn't get the diesel nozzle into the gas tank.
Which is why they started making them bigger. Yeah.
Right. So she's over there going clink, 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 trying to jam the thing in, and I go running over there and go, sweetheart, that's not the right gas. Gas is gas. And then I went, oh, my God, no. So I'm like, yeah, we're doomed because here's – think of this. This I always give this reference when people want to talk about this little thing. Let's say money goes away and everything's where it is and say we're having an issue, okay? And your rich-ass money don't mean shit no more.
Right.
And you got to feed your family. Don't come to my house. Listen, don't come to my house begging for shit because I'll put a bullet in you and tell you the buzzard's got to eat too. Because, you're playing that game. You know, I'm just saying, it's just wake up. Listen, I know each and every one of y'all, and I know Granny got this too. Pick a switch. I got hit with a switch, a shoe, a belt, an extension cord, and a dresser drawer.
Nice.
So I know what I got. Oh, no. My mom dumped a bottom. I was trying to get under the bunk beds to get away from her because I knew what was coming. And I got stuck. And I went, uh-oh. And my butt was hanging out, and she couldn't find anything. And she pulled the dresser drawer out and said, goom, 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 get your ass up from under there.
She found that ass.
Did
is what
you?
She did.
Now, Velvet, did
but,
you?
You know,
did
I,
you,
oh,
you
I
able
got
to get
out
of
there?
There?
Oh, I had to because it was hurting.
Okay.
But here's another thing. But look, in the 80s, the 70s and the 80s, and I can remember this fondly, I lived in a very diverse neighborhood. Okay? We didn't have – it was mostly middle and lower class. Okay? We all ate at each other's houses. We all spent the night with each other. There was nothing.
Yep.
We didn't talk about black and white and this and that. I ate at your house. You ate at my house. Didn't matter if you were Mexican, black, white, whatever you were, and that's what we did. And we used to play neighborhood football during the football season religiously. So I'm just saying, you know, you grew up then all of a sudden the media decided, well, in the 90s, well, we got to fix this problem. We can't have that. We can't have them loving each other. We got to stir this pot up. Well, yeah. And then what are they doing now? Stirring the pot up.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
making it worse.
They don't want to eat the Mexican house where the food's so good, do they?
Shit, I never left that house. We talking about
that's my God, that stuff's so good. Okay,
but
I'll shut up.
There's so many problems though because of from the 60s through the 90s, we just started getting progressively worse until now we just don't give a damn. You know,
yeah,
we're just going to drive around and do whatever. What's that?
We don't give a damn about ourselves. I mean, that's
no,
where
everything
exactly. falls apart because
exactly.
How many times you've been in a line? And I remember when I was a kid, we was in Burger King one day. This was in Chicago. And there was a girl at the Burger King, and she was dropping the F-bomb. And I looked at my mom, and I mean, look, you might as well have seen damn Sasquatch. I mean, I was like, damn, did you hear what she just said? You know, you never heard that coming out of people in a public area.
Nope.
Right? No, here we are in 2020. You know, there are people casually walking around with their
you're saying it.
Phones on speaker in the shopping cart, and they're just, I mean, F this, F that, just, you know, dropping epithets.
That's commonplace now.
And I'm going, God, Jesus, don't you know that people are looking at you?
People don't care, bro.
I mean... I'll post the pictures on Facebook of me burning my cigars and drinking my beer. That's me, okay? That's part of Dave. That's always been Dave, so I have no fear, okay? But if you guys only knew when me and Dale post pictures of us together, we've taken probably about 80 damn pictures and gone through and poofed them out like Olin Mills or something to figure out which one to post because we don't want to look. We carry ourselves to the first level. You know what I mean? So when my mom's in the room, I don't cuss like a sailor because my mom's there. You know? When I'm out in public places, I don't lay the language down unless I'm around similar people that I know can handle it. If I'm around a bunch of strangers, you know, I'm not going to do that because I carry myself at a better level.
There you go. I sent you all a nice picture.
Got to look at it.
Guess what?
Holy smokes. That's pretty. Holy cow. I am a changed man because of that picture.
Listen,
I will never get that out of my head.
Listen, don't call me it, bitch, okay?
A woman.
Amen. Oh, my God. But, you know, I'm surprised Todd's so quiet and everybody else is so quiet. Come on, y'all.
Handful of things like the wife came in during the show, stuff like that. So definitely muting things like that. I just want to throw two things in there. It's amazing. There is zero personal responsibility. With this whole the world owes me stuff, and it's okay if I'm or. The only person being offended that matters is me. It doesn't matter how you're offended.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Dr. John's original question was, maybe possibly a little bit far-fetched because it was, what are you going to do to save the world in 2021? Obviously, what I'm personally going to is I'm going to continue to teach my kids to do the right thing the right way and not be little bitches. If we want to get into what we wish we could do to save the world, I don't know how the rest of you feel. I don't want to start any arguments also, but I wish social media would go away. And we want to talk about people not caring and all that crap. One thing, and I'll admit, I get on there, and I don't mean to speak on both sides because I find it humorous. I don't partake in it. I will say that I get a kick out of it, but at the same time, it makes me really sad. We have these neighborhood groups on Facebook. Ours, we have Westfield Chatter, and there's, Westfield Moms, and there's, whatnot. There's a bunch of them. Westfield Uncensored, something like that. These people, you'll have somebody post on there, and it's just a simple rant. You know, they're trying to get something off their chest. They're like, oh, look, another tire store popped up. Then you got some a-hole that comes right back at them and wants to do nothing but be a keyboard warrior and sit behind their phone and say, well, if you don't like it, you can move out of Westfield. It's like, dude, get a grip. Do you think you'd really say that to him if he mumbled that in front of your face? You wouldn't have the balls to say that.
Nope.
But these people will go back and forth and attack one another, and it gets at a higher level than that. I mean, people are flat out mean to one another, and they have no regard for what the other one feels or anything. They just go back and forth and attack and attack and attack, and it's just terrible. And it's not just these groups. It's all over the place. It's all these different social media groups, and I feel like that's what spawns a lot of this hatred. We're talking like anywhere from Matt to sports. I mean, I'll admit I can like find some posts and other people, like Colts played the Patriots once and, that's when Deflategate came out and you had all these Patriot fans, bashing Colts and, they're just sad because they lost. No, they got a Colt, and it's like, dude, shut up. Start getting mad. And it's like, here it is. It's all this media crap. And you got people that tweet stuff that shouldn't tweet stuff. It's like, it just all needs to go away. That's what I wish.
Yeah, agreed. I like the Tom Brady meme of him in Tampa Bay where it says, oh, y'all don't cheat here?
Well,
I'll tell you what else is stinking in this thing. And it goes right back to personal responsibility. is the leadership by example. There is a lot of do as I say, not as I do shit going on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Standards apply to you, but not to me.
Yeah, and that's
especially
why
granny.
I had to put myself
granny
in
talk,
check.
Y'all.
All right,
oh, that's okay. No, I was just going to say I agree with Tim because, you know, as you all know, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Well, they lost to the Chargers Sunday because they did not use their starters. I mean, they played their second and third string guys to let their guys rest because we've got a first week bye in the playoffs. We've got home field advantage. And all these Kansas City Chiefs fans.
For the top seed. Just to be clear, for the top seed. They're not the first ones to do it.
I know, but all these Kansas City Chiefs are bashing their team because, you know, Andy Reid, you know, the reason why Andy Reid benched Patrick Mahomes is because he played so bad against Atlanta. No, he didn't bench him for that. He benched him. He kept him out of the game to keep him healthy for the playoffs, you know. And, I mean, if it wasn't for me keeping up with my wrestling family, I wouldn't even have Facebook. I get so tired of the drama, of the, you know, negativity every single day, the politics. You know, I've known so many people that's been in and out of Facebook jail for the past year because of what they're bashing about, you know, the political crap, you know. But I look at a situation like with my son. My son will be 34 years old the 23rd of this month. I've been trying to get him help that he needs because once my husband and I are gone, he's not going to have anybody to support him. He's not going to have anybody to reach out to, you know. He cannot get qualified for a Medicaid waiver because his IQ is 72, even though he's at that borderline intellectual functioning. And, you know, I'm thinking about having him tested because I'm wondering if he possibly might have not been a little bit autistic all these years. And I just didn't catch on to it. Because of all, you know, I mean, I was a single mom for 23 and a half years, guys, before I got remarried again to the man I'm married to now. I was trying to raise my son by myself, no child support, no support for my ex-husband, whatever. You know, my first husband, he's dead and gone. He's been gone now for about 3 or 4 years, but he tried to reach out to my son to try to make things right with my son and his wife. My son never even knew him. But, you know, I cannot get him. And if he's going to have to go live, like, in an assisted living facility or a group home to be taken care of, to be kept safe, I want that done now while I'm still here. Because once I'm gone, he's going to become a ward of the state. He's either going to end up becoming homeless and he's going to be living out on the street. Like I see these people with their dogs on the street corner asking for money, or he's going to end up in a mental institution the rest of his life because they do not consider bipolar disorder a developmental disability, even though he functions. I mean, when he was a sophomore in high school, he had a fourth grade reading level, you know, and that scares me. I mean, the way our country has become, what our country is becoming right now, that scares me for him because he's not going to be able to take care of himself. I mean, back in August, he lost 20 pounds in like 3 months because he was not taking care of himself, guys. I don't want to go down there some morning and find him dead because he's starving himself to death. He's not eating. He doesn't cook. I mean, his way of cooking is heating something up in a microwave or cooking a frozen pizza. I mean, he can't. I've tried to teach him how to cook. I've tried to show him how to cook. He don't cook a meal for himself, you know, and have it for another. I mean, he doesn't do that. He does not take care of himself. And sure, he's kept the weight off, you know, and with all the medications he takes for his, you know, his bipolar disorder. But, you know, and his therapist wanted him to do this experiment. And I get the concept behind the experiment, but he wanted Anthony to go a month and a half without asking us for any help, as if we were gone, not asking us for a ride to the store, not asking us to take him to the laundromat so he can do his laundry, because his laundry room and his apartment complex is locked the biggest part of the time. He would have to walk 3 miles to go do his laundry because he doesn't have a washer and dryer in his apartment. So, you know, I'm trying to get him the help that he needs now while I'm still here, while I still can. But I cannot get these people to understand that when his bipolar disorder, when he gets manic or he gets depressed or he's got the anxiety going on and he gets suicidal, I cannot get them to understand that that affects him physically. You know, even though it's a, yeah, he qualifies for residential services for a behavioral health facility, but there's nothing like that around here in Northwest Arkansas. You know, I cannot, there's a place in Fayetteville that he could live where somebody could come and check on him, but he does not qualify to live there in those apartments because he does not have that Medicaid waiver. Because he doesn't have autism, he doesn't have epilepsy, he doesn't have cerebral palsy. You know, they don't consider mental health a developmental disability.
But, you know, that drives home what I'm talking about the big government thing. And I've been saying that for a long time, going back to the socialism thing, is that if you want the United States government to control the aspects of your life, what you're going to eat, when you're going to eat, what you're going to work, what kind of money you're going to make. Look at what you're going through right now. Look what the VA is all about. Okay? If you ever talk to a veteran, look what he goes through to get what is due to him. Okay? Your son. The young man needs financial support. My son, he's vision impaired. He can't drive. So the ability for him to go out and, you know, start working, his ability to go be who I was or who my dad was is out the window because he can't see it. Okay? So you want that same government who can't get together on a stimulus package, you want the same government who can't get your son the help that he needs, you want the same government that can't help a veteran with his medical needs 40, 50 years later, okay? And you want those people controlling every aspect of your life? Are you out of your goddamn mind?
I'm not saying I want the government to control my son, but I'm just saying I cannot get these doctors, get these people to understand that my son, because my son functions as if he has a developmental disability because of his learning disorder when he was a child. He was in resource all of his life. Yes, I did my best to try to teach him right from wrong. I did my best to try to raise him right. But, you know, I mean, he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 11 years old, and he probably had it a lot younger than that, you know, but they don't like to diagnose kids when they're little, you know. But I just can't get him. I mean, my biggest fear is what's going to happen to him when I'm gone. Who's going to be there to give him that family support?
That's a good mom, Granny.
And that's exactly point, is the fact that you're doing all you can, okay? And you live in the greatest country on the planet and deserve help, okay? You don't need to have everything steered around for you. The problem is that the help that you deserve you're having to crawl through a mile of broken glass to get to. All right?
I know.
So if we was to go into a socialistic society, okay, the simple things about your medication, about your food, about the stuff you wipe your tail with, hey, it's going to be in the same thing. You mean to tell me it's going to be that hard to track down a box of Hamburger Helper? You mean to tell me it's going to be that hard to track down a can of ibuprofen of what you're going through with your son? And it's just a shame that there's people out there who are not doing their part for a genuine need, you know? And it's just, I don't know. People have got to understand that the world's not a fair place. And I know I understand that with my son, his vision impairment. I know you understand that with your son. But that doesn't mean you're going to sit in the curb and cry about it. You're going to do everything you possibly can. And if we go to a total government control situation, there's going to be nothing you or I can do. And that's what we've got to look out for. And it's scary times. And you keep saying the same thing I always say. If I croak today, I don't know how many times I say that. Because I always joke about the meteorite, that there's been a meteorite hurtling through space for the last 6 billion years, and it'll fry me right between the damn eyes while I'm doing the show one Wednesday night, because that's just how my luck goes. But, you know, the bottom line is, are we willing to give up our ability to help, if you understand my meaning? And mm-hmm. It's just, it's scary. And I wonder, and I hope it doesn't get worse, but right now, you know, and my fear is that people will start getting cast to the side and forgotten. And, you know, like you said, talk about living homelessly and all that kind of stuff, man. And I know when we paid the house off that night, I remember saying to my folks, I said, now I know that Rob's got somewhere to stay. Might not be the best house, might not be what he wants. But I know that if I was to drop dead tonight, he's got somewhere to live. Now, how he's going to eat, damn if I know. He might go out and graze in the backyard, and how's he going to, you know, pay for this and that? I don't know, but I know he's got shelter because I know I can't depend on nobody else, you know, and I damn sure can't depend on our government. So, yeah,
see,
my son
never learned how to drive because with him, it's like when he has a manic episode, like he just immediately like falls asleep. It's like somebody having an epileptic seizure. They have to sleep it off. I mean,
oh, wow.
I remember one time his Depakote level bottomed out so bad. He was so manic. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know who he was. They asked him a question when I took him to the hospital. They had him at one emergency room, and they said, well, we can't keep him here. And I said, so I'm supposed to take him home and let him just kill himself, you know. So they took him to another hospital, and they put him in, like, in an ICU unit for 3 days to watch him. And they asked him, they said, Anthony, when was the last time you used the restroom? He hit the side of his head. He says, I don't know. It was 3 or 4 days ago. I mean, he couldn't even comprehend the question that they were asking him. And he slept for like 20, almost 23 hours. And even when he did wake up the next day, he still didn't know who he was. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know even where he was. It took him like a week to get back to functioning on a halfway normal level. You know, I mean, just because his one medication, you know, bottomed out so bad that his Depakote level just like dropped so low, it got so low, it just like his medicine was not working for him. You know, he was like a freaking zombie.
Yeah, that's scary. That's Yeah. And that's tough
but
to
yet
hear,
I cannot.
Too.
But yet I cannot get these doctors and these therapists and these people that I'm talking to, I cannot get them to understand. Because they said, this is what they told me. They said, well, if his IQ was 70 or below, he would be considered mildly mentally retarded and he could get the help that he needs. And I'm like, you're penalizing him for 2 lousy points? I mean, I am seeing him mentally decline. I've been seeing it him mentally decline for the last 2 to 2.5 years. I mean, he's starting to forget things. He's starting to, I mean.
Granny, it's time for a reevaluation on that. I would do that.
Yeah, okay.
I agree.
But I mean, well,
you,
I mean, I had him
you
tested.
You find somebody
who'll
do it? Yeah.
Well, and that's why I'm thinking about the testing for the autism, because he did have the learning disability when he was a child. You know, he could have been autistic back, and yeah, maybe I should have had him tested when he was younger. But like I said, trying to raise a child by myself, trying to work, trying to, you know, I did the best that I could.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I would find somebody and get every test possible. That way, there's nobody can say, well, it's 2 points. Nah, it ain't 2 points. If he's declining and it's going that fast in 2 years, definitely get a reevaluation on that, and you'll get
yeah,
the help you need after that.
I mean, I've been working on it, but, you know, I haven't had much luck trying to get it done, but I'm trying, you know.
Well, if you got to find a new avenue, then, you know, and beat that ditch, I would. You know, you're gonna have to be the one shouting from the rooftop until somebody goes, okay. Because you're going to have to beat their door down. You might have to call them every day for a month. But, daggummit, I'd call them every day for a month.
I'm going to tell you something about the lovely lady on Scarycast on Monday night, Robin McCray, whose husband all of a sudden had a 700-plus blood sugar. And she took him to the hospital, and he wasn't doing any much better after 4 days. And she was screaming bloody murder. And that got some action. I mean, she was screaming bloody murder at these people and telling the doctors they didn't know what they were talking about. They told her something different the day before and just catching them all the time. And they finally didn't want to mess with her, so they let him out and said, take him to the family doctor. And she fixed him. I mean, you know, it's like whenever you get into a big bureaucracy, 99% of them don't give a damn. Pardon me for using that word, but they don't. All they want guess what? Their check. That's all they want.
That money. All they want is that money.
Well, yeah, because you take patients and get you money. A cured patient doesn't get you money.
Well, yeah, and even if she doesn't have, say, the means or the insurance or this and that, they still get paid. Don't let them hand you that either because you don't have certain things. They still get paid. There's called a charity. You go find out where you need to sign up for that, and they will still get paid.
Well, in general, they're probably already getting paid because of certain agreements that doctors have with hospitals. There's like a pool of money that if you take someone in and they don't have insurance, they'll still get paid anyway because the hospital pays them. They keep a pool of money to pay doctors for exactly what that is.
And
if they start telling you that, just say, excuse me, let me speak to somebody else, and just go right on to the next one. Am I correct?
And even if you got to fill, you'll have to fill out a piece of paper stating your income and this and that, and they'll put you on a charity. And guess what? You can get 100% or you can get 75%. And whatever it is, you take it and run with it. And then guess what? You'll get appointments. You'll get looked at. You'll have assessments. You'll have everything you need. But you're going to have to beat that door down. So
Randy,
oh, yeah.
You're the most wonderful person in the world.
Just for the record, I want to throw this out there. Those that don't know, I strongly suspect, while I don't know the details, I know some of the background. Velvet knows what he's talking about, and I'll just leave it at that. He has a T-shirt. Been there, done that.
Yep. And Granny, if you ever need help, you reach out, and I will help you.
I appreciate that, my friend. So,
yes.
Yes.
And you know what?
You better, because Velvet knows what to do.
And we may have not solved the world's problems or this country's problems, but damn it, we have a good time on this show.
Well, I think we attacked some of Grammys, so I think, you know, we're there. How to do it. Let's start with taking care of your own.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just a thought. I was just thinking, Velvet, I think you're there too. Let's turn this thing around. Let's go with something positive. I tried a joke in the green room earlier. Didn't go over real well. Dr. John asked me how the day was going. I said my day has been just like tomorrow morning will be, because I ate Taco Bell tonight, and that got a resounding thud.
Good for you.
I got as little laughter as one of Dr. John's jokes. It was bad.
Boy, you're really after me tonight, Todd, aren't you?
I was commiserating with you.
Oh, is that what that was? I didn't know.
Does anybody buy that?
Nope.
Well, I tried.
No, I don't.
It was worth a shot, but no, in all seriousness, you know, let's try to add a little bit of humor. Let's try to, I would like, look, y'all can shut this stuff down. You can all go Negan on me. But let's, you know, end it on a bit of a humor note. I got to throw this out here. So the other morning, this was something I think I really learned in boot camp. Depending upon the cadences that the senior drill instructor would call during physical training, I kind of knew what kind of mood and what his home life was in when he was doing the cadences that were one significant other related. And, oh, God, you knew it was going to be a bad day because you knew he had a bad night at home. So the other morning, I'm in here, I'm working, and the wife gets up, she comes out, she's humming to herself. And you would think that's all hunky-dory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. She was humming the Imperial March from Star Wars.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, this can't
oh, is that
be good.
Is that because I shared it to everybody?
No. And I did make sure I forwarded that to the Famdamily group, which I happen to call my Nerdzillas. She came out. Now, mind you, like later that night, she happened to be humming Baby Elephant Walk and couldn't even figure out what it was from. It was hilarious. But, yeah, she came out in the morning humming the Imperial March. I was like, oh, this is not going to end well.
The Baby Elephant March, isn't that from Bridge Over the River Kwai?
No, that's Star Wars. That's the Imperial March. That's the same one you sent.
No, the Baby Elephant March.
No, I don't think it was involved in that. But great movie, by the way. Nice call.
Of course. Well,
that's a whole different one. That's a whole different song. I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Just
I was trying
to
be funny.
It, really,
that's another one of my bad jokes.
Good flick.
Alec Guinness was in both flicks, so there's a little bit of connective tissue there with the bad joke, so well done.
Oh, well, yeah, look at that. Dr. John made bad jokes about two good movies.
Sir John.
Well, I got something funny to share with you guys.
Go, girl.
Good.
Okay. About a year ago, we were at a wrestling show over in Tahlequah, UWE, and my son had taken his little service dog, Mysterio, with him to that show that night. And
UWE. One moment. Oh, what is the dog's name?
Mysterio. He's named after Rey Mysterio.
I swore you said Listeria.
No, Mysterio. 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 Like Rey Mysterio. Anyway,
so they
set these
better
tables up around the ring like a barrier type thing. So if you're on the front row, sitting in the front row seats, you get to sit at the table, you know. So Anthony was holding his dog Mysterio, and my friend Dexter Hardaway, he was being the bad guy that night. Well, he raised his arm back at Anthony. He started hollering at Anthony, and old Mysterio, man, his eyes got really big, and he stood up on his hind legs and put his front paws on that table, and he looked at Dexter, and he's like, blah, 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 at him. I mean, just he went off on him. Well, we went to a wrestling show this past Saturday night over in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. I have some friends. They're a married couple, and they're both wrestlers, and they go to this really nice little church, and they had their debut show for Core Professional Wrestling, and the money that they're raising, I don't know if it's going to be every show that they're going to do this, but this particular show, the money that they raised on the concession and the ticket sales was to help the youth of their church, you know, like send a kid to summer camp, you know, type thing. So Dexter, he's in the first match, and he gets thrown over the ring rope, and we're sitting in the front row, and Anthony, he's holding Mysterio on his lap, and he's got his little pet stroller next to him, you know, and everything, and Dexter starts hollering at Anthony again, and Mysterio's like, whoa, 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 and everybody just started laughing at this, you know, so Anthony puts Mysterio in the pet stroller, and Mysterio's still barking at Dexter through the pet stroller. You know, it's got the little mesh screen. He said, rah, rah, rah. I mean, his little eye, I mean, because he remembered what Dexter had done to his daddy like a year ago. And I'm like, Dexter, you do not do that, you know, because he said something to me last year. He says, oh, I don't think I should have done that, Granny. I said, no, you shouldn't have, because Mysterio was going into protection mode to protect his daddy. He thought you were going to hurt his daddy. And I guess he never forgot that. And I mean, he just went ballistic on Dexter. Here's this little 15 pound Chihuahua mixed dog just going off on that wrestler. I loved it. It was great.
Whatever. That sounds like fun. I wish I had been there. Well,
It was a blast.
I think in my mind, everybody else has had a story tonight but me. Can I tell mine?
Sure.
Mine is transparent.
Well, is it about
mine
New
is
Zealand?
Transparent? No, it's better than New Zealand. Mine is transparent, self-serving, and everything else, but it will make the world a happier place. What?
I said your story's transparent. I said that is clear.
Okay, great. I don't know. I'm so sober. That's funny. That's a terrible thing to say. Oh, my God. Anyway, because we don't have the opportunity to see all the great wrestlers as much as we would really like to, because of COVID-19 and other reasons, I am working on a project, and the Amazing Velvet is helping me, because the first weekend in April of 2021, we are going to have the Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions at the Holy City Brewery in North Charleston. And we are going to have greats like Papa Stro. We're going to have Wildfire Tommy Rich, the youngest man ever to be the world heavyweight champion. We're going to have Susan Green, the greatest living female wrestler. We're going to have Toni Rose, one of the greatest female wrestlers in history and multi-time world tag team champions with the Unfabulous Moolah. So, I mean, we're going to have some great people there. We've got more coming. So that's all I can announce right now. It'll be the first weekend, be the first Saturday in April, and we're going to have a blast, and people are going to have – damn it, people are going to have fun. We're going to force them to enjoy these great wrestling superstars. That's right.
That
and if you don't believe
good.
That,
you said you were going to have it at a brewery?
Yes, sir.
That should be some serious hops.
And also, something great that's starting on Pro Wrestling Interviews this Sunday night that's going to bring more joy and cheer to 2021 is the Amazing Velvet, who runs that show. He has given me permission to start inviting some new wrestlers, younger wrestlers. So I've been looking around on Facebook. I've found some really great ones. They have good demo tapes. They have great everything, and they're going to start being with us on Sunday night. And every Sunday night, we're going to have some newer wrestlers to talk to them, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So the more wrestling, the better. I feel if I had a platform to run on to run on, it would be more wrestling is better for everybody. It makes more people smile. And that's as transparent and stupid as it gets, but I believe that because I love wrestling, and that's it. Anybody else love wrestling? Raise your hand. Granny?
I do.
Are you raising your hand? You love wrestling? Velvet, are you raising your hand?
Yep. Oh, what? I'm picking Velvet, my butt. I'm sorry. I'll raise it now.
I'm raising both hands because I love my wrestling so much.
I was busy.
Dave Atwell, are you raising your hand because we know you love wrestling?
Yeah, I just binge-watched all of the Dark Side of the Rings on Hulu this last week.
Wow.
And if you get a chance to watch that, it's well done. And I'm telling you, I don't care how many times I watch the Owen story, I will never be able to watch that stuff with a straight face. That is such a tough one to get through. But, yeah, they did an excellent job on both series. And so if you get a chance, you know, they're usually right around 45 minutes apiece. You know, sit down, watch one over your meal on your laptop or something. But it's definitely worth it. There's a Moolah one in particular that I felt like I had to shower after I watched it. It was it was kind of gooey.
Listen, Dave, I have dinner with Susan Green every week, and I feel that way after dinner. I mean, I do. Moolah was just the scummiest of scum.
It wasn't very flattering. It wasn't. There was no mention of Susan Green on there, but there was.
That's right.
There was. There's a reason for that. Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought. I was like, it's kind of conspicuous Susan Green isn't on there. But, yeah, some of the stuff that was going on, and, I mean, the more you hear, the more. And it's kind of funny when you watch it, the one person that was really taking her side was her daughter. And I'm going, yeah, well, no kidding. Charles Manson's mom probably cried when he got locked up. You know, it's
true.
Yeah, but it's not a very flattering episode.
No,
but I like to say,
but it didn't touch everything. It touched on some important things, yes, but not everything. But, yeah, it's not flattering, but it should have been worse. But because of the people who were interviewed for that, we're all pro Moolah.
Yes.
So they had to throw some dirt in there, which they did, but they didn't throw all the hash.
They sure didn't. And when you see Susan Green's biography, which is scheduled to be out the first weekend in April, when you read her biography, you'll know why Susan wasn't included in that. And this is going to be a... It's going to be a bombshell.
Susan went to her ass.
Pardon?
Yeah. That's because Susan went to her
ass. Yeah, she did. She broke her collarbone.
I was going to say, she broke her shoulder. That's what Susan went through. She broke her damn shoulder, pardon my grammar. But anyway, that's great.
Right.
And you know what? This has been a lot of fun.
Tim.
And I'll.
Tim.
Do what?
Who's who?
Tim.
Tim.
What, Tim?
We didn't hurt for doing a bit.
What?
We ain't heard from him. We have
definitely
not heard from
him. I thought Tim was going to treat his kids to be better. Teach his kids to be better. What else do you say, Tim?
Dang, Todd, caught me off guard there. I don't know, man. I'm this sobriety doing the show while I'm sober is a little bit of a new experience. So I'm not going to be as quick
just
to speak.
Just go and look
I
at guess. My picture again. It'll be all right.
Nowhere near as fun. I know that.
I'm going to tell you what, though, after a day like I witnessed today on TV and everything, it is fun to sit back and you know, we talked about
some things,
and then we followed up with a few laughs, and it's definitely a good way to end the day. So that's all I have.
Yeah, agreed.
Glad to be talking to all you guys. And you, Grant.
Well, we're glad to have you here. But as I said, I'm going to catch the British lady a little bit early, and I'm going to say this has been a fun show. Everybody has exactly 30 seconds, and I mean no more, Dave. 30 seconds for a plug, and we'll start with you, Dave, and then we'll cut you off after 30. Plug time, Dave.
Nah, just be good to one another and knock your cheap shit off. Nick.
Okay. Todd, 30 seconds.
Happy 20th birthday to my daughter yesterday. Happy birthday, Karma.
Happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Wonderful. That is great. Granny Hulkster, 30 seconds.
Just everybody be good to each other and just love each other, and we'll be all right.
You are correct, 100%. Todd, Tim, what you got?
Good luck to all those who have teams in the NFL playoffs, for all those of you that still do that sort of thing. I think we have, Washington, I can't say Redskins anymore.
No. I'm a Vikings fan, buddy.
Oh, good dang it. Why did I get that
I'm
mixed
a Redskins
up?
Fan.
Are you the Redskins fan?
Yeah, the other guy.
Definitely.
All right. So I was sort
it's
of.
It's all good, man. It's all
There's
good.
There's one of them. Okay. All right. I got
it
the
is.
Colts.
It's all.
Get their butts kicked by the Bills, and Grain has got the Chiefs, and that's my 30 seconds. All right. I'm done.
Okay, that's the best 90 seconds I've ever heard. Well, we love you anyway.
Oh,
Amazing
wow.
Velvet, what have you got?
Hey, man, everybody, let's keep this for going. Everybody be good, be safe, have a good rest of your week and weekend. Pro wrestling interviews every Sunday night at 10 o'clock. We're going to have fun with that. And just, you know what, look forward to next week on this show. So I can't
Absolutely.
Wait. I love you guys.
Love you too,
so
brother.
Much, but
love you too.
It puts me in such a good mood. All right, hey, mine is first weekend in April, Carolina Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame inductions with all those people that I mentioned. I can't wait. I'm living my life for that. Mm-hmm. And the release of Susan Green's book, Susan Tex Green, the First Lady of Professional Wrestling, and that's the name of it, and we can't wait. So, look, thanks, everybody. It's just been so much fun getting together with you guys. You know, in the middle of the week, here we are. We get to have some fun for a change and listen to each other and commiserate. And Todd knows he's spectacular and supernatural at the same time and all that. What more can you ask for? And Dave, we can complain about Dave, and we're glad Tim's here. We're glad Velvet's down there. We're glad that Granny's over there.
Wrong.
That's the best line all night. Look, thanks to
Man,
everybody.
Putting
Velvet
back on
wonderful.
His knees again. That's dirty.
Big hugs, team. Big hugs.
All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And we got in before.
Good night, everybody.
The British lady did. Good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
I got to find the show to cancel it. It's great. It's awesome. We love all of you. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye, y'all.
Where's that
compound
bridge?
The show. We can't
Where's
find
that
the show.
Bridge?
Oh, here's the show. It's coming up, so I can say
now
more.
You
more.
Sound like anybody on the internet
later,
trying to look us up. I can't find the show.
We're there. All right, we'll talk to y'all later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Later.
And still
Big
here.
Hug. What is the British lady?
Him.
Thank you.
I don't know. This is great. British lady, I don't know. Well, I'll find the show. Y'all keep talking. I'll find the show.
Is this going to make the blooper reel?
No, this is. This is for real.
Yeah,
I found the show. We got 32 seconds. I'll edit. Love all of you, even though I'm crazy. I'm sober. That's the problem, Dave.
Oh, wait. Way to go, Foster Brooks.
Should we all sing like off, Dave?